KC had to step out to attend to some station business here today. So hanging out with you for the next hour. If you're normally Matt George is with us in this hour. He was with us earlier. And not coincidentally, him and KC are going to be in the same places. We've got some really exciting things coming up in the next few weeks. Again, mentioning starting on Monday, it's media day for the Sacramento Kings. The wait for professional basketball to be back is almost over. And I could not possibly be more excited for that. I can't wait for games to be played, even if they're preseason games against the Golden State Warriors. I can't wait to see what this Kings team looks like with DeMar DeRozan. I can't wait to see what this team looks like with whoever is in that starting two role, what Malik Monk's role is. I can't wait to see Kevin Huerter come back. I can't wait for all of that to happen. As I'm looking up at the TV, and clearly there are some things going on at the Oakland A's game as they're taking a long pause. I'm guessing someone's running across the field just by the way that the camera is shooting it. But the final game in Oakland is taking place right now with the Oakland A's up 3-2. And yeah, there's security all over the field. So I'm guessing someone was, in fact, on the field. We'll keep you updated. That thing will come to a conclusion here in the not too distant future. And then we've got week number four of the NFL season kicking off tonight. There's some huge games this week that I can't wait to talk about. There's some huge games this weekend that I can't wait to see. And it starts tonight for the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys versus the New York Giants isn't necessarily a huge game, or at least it doesn't feel like one. But it is a huge game for the Dallas Cowboys simply because they need to get right. They need to get back on track. They need to get going again. And if they don't, it's going to feel like the sky is falling. This is a far bigger loss for the Dallas Cowboys than it would be a win. Losing against the Giants tonight, especially with all of that bickering that took place. Well, bickering is the wrong term, but it did feel like there was a lot of finger pointing going on at the end of that Baltimore Ravens game last week. Given all of that that happened against a really good Baltimore Ravens team, after your team had just had a strong 8-minute run to at least give you an opportunity to win, no one was cushioned by that. You could feel the frustration. You could sense the frustration. I mean, Michael Parsons even said that I got to do better. I got to be better. CeeDee Lamb did the same thing. Everybody trying to take personal accountability, and you're walking in there with the Giants team that obviously they got to win this past week. But, you know, Kenny posed the question, or maybe the Giants a little bit better than we thought they were? And I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong. But if we think the Dallas Cowboys are bad and the Giants wind up getting a win tonight, that's more indicative of the Dallas Cowboys than it is the New York Giants. Because right now, if the Giants beat the Cowboys, we're looking at it like, yeah, they beat an overrated Dallas Cowboys team and they beat an overrated Cleveland Browns team. We'll see what they do the rest of the season. No one's going to look at the New York Giants tonight with a win against Dallas and go, yeah, they're in the same class as the football team is. They're in the same class that the Philadelphia Eagles are in. No one's going to do that. In fact, that's my bad. No one's even going to be talking about the New York Giants. Cowboys lose tonight. That's the story. The Cowboys lose. The Giants win tonight. Sorry, guys. The story is still the Cowboys lose. Cowboys win tonight. It's like, all right, they've won. Steady the water out a little bit. Smooth sailing now. See what you can get going into next week. Dak's beating the Giants, I think, was it four? I think it was like 12 straight times. This team's got a lot to prove, man. I just don't think they have a ton of talent. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys have a ton of talent. I'll be locked into this game. I'll be anxious to see how they perform. I did wonder after that week one win from the Cowboys if maybe they were a little bit better than I thought. If maybe they were a little bit better than any of us gave them credit for. And 2 weeks later, the feeling is absolutely they're not. They have a lot of talent in key positions. A handful of key positions. They don't have a lot of talent around the rest of the field. It's like when you talk about the San Francisco 49ers. You got Debo. You got Trent. You got Nick. You can just run through a gamut of position players that are pretty high level players. Looks like the game is over and the A's win their final game in Oakland. Seems like everything is going smooth. Well, it looks like they're booing, so maybe not super smooth. Man, I feel this has to be a tough moment for all of those players. This has to be a tough moment I feel for the players in this regard. They are just kind of stuck in this. They're stuck in this mess between Oakland, the A's, John Fisher, you know, all of these different things. They're just out there trying to win baseball games. And it's got to be a weird, really weird moment for them. Probably a super emotional last few days. But the A's will, in fact, win their final game in Oakland in a packed stadium, man. So hopefully everybody is celebrating as best they can, though I know quite a few people aren't going to particularly be pleased with this entire situation. A's win their last game in Oakland. Anyways, back to the NFL. I'm sorry, that caught my attention. But back to the NFL, I mean, no one's gonna hype up the New York Giants if they're able to get a win tonight. And you talk about we were talking about the Cowboys and their position groups. We were talking about how they have like marquee talent, and whether you consider Dak a great quarterback, a good quarterback, or an average quarterback, whatever, he's a marquee player in the league. His stats show that he's a very good player. CeeDee Lamb, same thing. Michael Parsons, the same thing. They got long term issues they got to rectify with both of those guys in the next summer or so. But you have like really good play, but that's where the story ends. They needed to find a Jordan Mason so bad and haven't been able to do it. At least 3 weeks into the season, they haven't been able to do it. They needed to find a Juwan Jennings. They needed to find a guy who could step up and show out, a guy who could be different, a guy who could kind of, you know, take the reins and add a dimension to the team that nobody saw coming. That has not happened. That has not happened. And if it doesn't, I don't know how this team gets better. Again, don't get me wrong, they could beat the Giants tonight. I expect them to beat the Giants tonight. I absolutely expect the Dallas Cowboys to beat the Giants tonight. And I absolutely think that the Dallas Cowboys could win games moving forward. Like, if we got really extreme, and I know we did this earlier in the week, like, is there a path where the Dallas Cowboys win, like, 6 or 7 games this year? Like, that seems like a bit far stretched, but when you look back at the schedule and you realize the team that they beat was the Cleveland Browns. Now, in week one, I thought that was a big deal because I didn't realize Cleveland sucked yet. Jesse did. I didn't. That's me. But they got run out of the building by the Saints. They didn't get blown out by the Ravens, but they got pretty beat up. Maybe the Ravens left their foot off the gas. Whatever happened in those final 8 minutes, no one bought, even the Dallas Cowboys. But you get through this game in New York, and you got what is right now, it'll be different, but what is right now a 3-0 Pittsburgh team. Then you got Detroit after that. Then you got a relatively early bye week in week 7. Those are two tough games going into the bye. And then you're in Santa Clara. And your schedule right now, again, this could change as the season progresses. Right now, the Cowboys' schedule looks brutal. Once you get through New York, you got the mini bye, then you got Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, at worst, is going to be 3-1 going into that game. You got Detroit. I mentioned the bye week, San Francisco, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Houston, and then you got the Washington football team.
If they're going to win games, it feels like it all just depends on Dak. And that's not even fair, I feel like.
But
that's the only way I could see it. Where they're just, if they want to reach whatever expectations, not even Super Bowl, get to the playoffs.
You've got to ask the defense to do something, though.
You can ask, but the guys, I don't think you have the guys for that.
I don't think you have the guys on the offensive end. Well, you basically just got to find Dak's got to find CD for 100 a night. 12 catches, 100 yards every night for CeeDee Lamb, maybe the Dallas Cowboys have a chance to win games, especially with this schedule. They didn't even get to – they got Cincinnati on their schedule still. They got Tampa Bay on their schedule still. And, of course, they've got the second games against Philadelphia and Washington to close out the season. Let's get our man Drew Down in here. He's a Cowboy fan, 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Drew Down, what's happening, baby?
Hey, what's going on, D-Lo? Yeah, I just wanted to hop in on the Cowboy conversation. I think they're going to beat the Giants tonight. I think it's the same old story, same as last year, man. Against the bad teams, they take care of business. You know, for example, the Browns week one, they look good. But then when they play, you know, a good team, the Saints, I'm not even sure the Saints are a good team, but Saints blew them out. The Ravens whooped them. I mean, I know they came back late, but I think that's kind of been the MO for Dak a lot of these games. Is he puts up these big stats, but I feel like a lot of times it's – I mean, I don't know if you want to call the Ravens game garbage time, but I feel like a lot of the stats he piles up is kind of like too little too late. You look at the box score, you say, damn, Dak played great. He had all these yards, blah, blah, blah. But if you really watch the context of the game, you know, a lot of them stats he puts up are, you know, kind of, you know, too little too late. So, I mean, he's a good quarterback, but I feel like when you pay that guy $60 million and the rest of the team is just average, you know, you don't have the money. I don't think he's on that tier of you know, Mahomes or Allen or Burrow. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and, you know, Lamar Jackson, where he can kind of elevate his teammates. And there's just not enough money around to elevate that roster. They brought back Zeke, you know, they had an opportunity to take a running back in the draft in the third round. I was watching the draft. It took a linebacker, haven't seen him on the field at all. Mm-hmm. So I think with them, it's the same old story, man, that they can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. They never have a strong defensive tackle that can really stop the run. They haven't had a great linebacker really since Sean Lee. They don't have a great safety play. So it's the same old story, man. They're going to beat the bad teams. They're going to lose to the good teams. But when it comes down to it, they can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. They're going to be maybe, you know, 10 wins, maybe 9 wins. They might sneak into the playoffs, but they're going to be a first-round exit. And until they make some changes, it's going to be, you know, the same old story every single year. So I don't have any, you know, high expectations for the Cowboys, but I definitely think they'll beat the Giants tonight.
Appreciate you, Drew Down, as always. Man, I couldn't.
Doesn't sound like a Dak Prescott fan.
But, you know, it sounded like to me, though, he was describing, feels like James Harden. And when you talk about a guy who puts up numbers, and James does this a lot. I mean, James Harden can put up great regular season numbers. He at a time in his career was absolutely incredible. But when you talk about games that matter, you'll look at a box score. Like if you go back and you look at some of James Harden's performances in a postseason, you might see that he had 36 points or 35 points or 12 assists or something along those lines. But without watching the context of the game, you won't realize he scored 12 of those points in the fourth quarter with his team down 20 and was doing nothing to help them get back in that game.
Might be harsh too, but even at this point, like James Harden has more playoff moments than Dak Prescott does.
Yeah.
Dak is...
That is harsh. I mean, but James has the benefit of he'll be really good in game one, maybe game two. It's when the series gets really on the line, that's where you just kind of go like, oh.
KC's been saying it the last couple of years, and I've always agreed with him too. Like, Dak Prescott is Kirk Cousins, and he's just in a Cowboys uniform. Like, he's good.
That might be true.
He's good, but like, it's just, that's it. He's good.
That
he's
might be true.
Not elite or anything like that.
So did the Cowboys make a mistake by re-signing him? Should they have just lame-ducked him?
I mean.
Or traded him?
It's the NFL, so if you have a guy as good as Dak, you might as well pay him because chances are the next one isn't going to be. It's how the NFL works. But I think if everything was perfect, yeah, you probably move on from Dak because you can ask Drew Down or anyone in the chat house, even yourself or whatnot. But, like, do you think Dak Prescott can win them a Super Bowl? If the answer is no, then it's like, all right, what are we doing here then?
Well, but is there a quarterback that can, that you can
You just
acquire?
Have to look. You have to keep looking. Because with the past few seasons, it didn't work, and now the team's just going down. Now the cupboard's bare.
So what would you do? Take like a chance on Sam Darnold's available next year. If you had the chance to sign Sam Darnold, just because it's different, do you do it?
you low-key might as well just blow it up and rebuild a bit.
That's an entirely different story, right? Like giving up on this entire thing and building, like, that's...
Like, it's the NFL. So, like I said, the right answer is yes, you pay Dak because he's going to make you competitive enough and you can kind of build around that. But, like I said, I don't think anyone thinks he's winning you a Super Bowl.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this because I think he has said something along the same lines himself. Jerry don't have a ton of time left. There's no chance he's doing that. Jerry will scratch and claw his final years to make sure that this team, at the very least, is on Sunday night football, is on primetime football 7, 8, 9, 10 times a season or whatever. He'll never blow this team up. He'll never put this team in a position to where they're starting over. And even though the starting over process in the NFL is usually a lot, not usually, it is a lot quicker in the NFL than it is the NBA, I don't think he'll do it.
I agree with you, but I think that's what they actually need. Because they missed their chance.
I don't know.
They missed their chance. The way we talk about the 49ers, like their best chance at it was last year, whatever. Like any chance that the Cowboys had at a Super Bowl was probably the last three seasons or whatever. Mm. It's not happening this year, and it's more than likely not happening next year unless they make some massive move.
I think that's the tough part. It can't be massive move. It has to be massive moves.
Yeah.
And I think there's actually, like, you look at Diggs, like Diggs coming off that injury he had, maybe it's going to take him a little time to get going. I thought Kendricks has been, he was certainly good in week one. Again, the context of that game looks entirely different in my eyes after, you know, an additional 2 weeks. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence, like, you know, maybe his best days are behind him, but I don't think he's awful. And then you got Micah Parsons there anchoring the whole thing. I don't feel the guys on the defensive side of the ball for the Dallas Cowboys are bad. Now, maybe they're not as good as, like, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Charvarius Ward. Maybe they're not as good as some of those guys, but I don't think they're awful. I don't think they're playing great. And that's where, like, they've...
Are they just missing Dan Quinn then?
Could be. I mean, could be. Yeah, it could be. There are people that think your defense is missing Brian Flores, no?
Oh, no, the defense has actually been pretty good this year. Anthony Weaver, shout out to him. But I think that with the Cowboys, like you said, if they got the guys and all that, maybe you're just missing Dan Quinn at this point because, I mean, we know how you feel about him, but Mike McCarthy's not going to coach him up.
Yeah, I don't think Mike McCarthy is a good coach. I don't think the Cowboys think Mike McCarthy is a good coach, which is why he's in the position he's in. Now, maybe he's not as bad as some other coaches out there, but I don't think he's a good coach.
He's not going to fix your defense.
He's not going to. Yeah, he's not. And what's Bill Belichick going to come in and do and coach the defense? Oh, of course he's not. I don't even think Belichick would coach the Dallas Cowboys. That's a headache that's probably not even worth it for that man.
That'd be content for us, though.
Oh, it'd be tremendous content. The hoodie and the Cowboys? Jerry, see, there's no way. There's just no way it would happen. Like, Jerry wants that. Jerry is holding a press conference before the Dallas Cowboys get off the field. He is swarmed by reporters there talking. That would drive Bill Belichick nuts. That would drive Bill Belichick absolutely crazy. But that's the thing with the Dallas Cowboys, though, when you talk about Bill Belichick, when you talk about running backs, when you talk about all of these, they're not a piece away. They're several pieces away, which is why your idea of maybe the only way to approach this was to blow this thing up. But clearly, that's not what Jerry Jones is doing. I don't think that's what Jerry Jones is ever going to do. They're going to have to find a way to, and I think he acknowledged this much the other day, you got to manipulate the cap a little bit. You got to do what the NFL does, and the NFL can literally make money grow on trees. That's essentially what they have to do.
I think Kyle Madsen said this morning on the Insiders that, like, they're number one as far as valuation and as far as, like, teams, what they're worth and all that, but they're 14th in, like, cash spending. Meaning they don't spend as much as they have and all that when it comes to players and all that stuff.
Interesting.
That was after, I think he said, after they paid Dak?
That's crazy then.
I think it was after they paid Dak or after they paid CD.
Well, the whole idea, like, Jerry talks to us. These guys are funny. Jerry talks to us like Vince McMahon talks to us. Like, we just don't know any better. Like, we're simpletons. And I heard his little radio hit the other day where someone was asking him about Derrick Henry, and the question or the conversation starts with, "Yeah, Jerry, you said yesterday that you couldn't afford Derrick Henry." And he goes, "That's right. That's right. That's correct. I can't afford Derrick Henry." And then he goes on to do this long spiel, and there's no mathematical reality in which the Dallas Cowboys couldn't have signed Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, I think, signed for like $5 million or something like that. And I don't even know if that's $5 million real dollars or $5 million NFL dollars. The Cowboys could have done that, and they didn't. But Jerry wants us to believe that it was just impossible. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, he got 2 years, 16, but only 9 was guaranteed. It's about 2 years, 4.5, and then okay. You get incentives then.
Okay. You could have done that, Jerry.
Yeah.
There's no math equation where that doesn't work. There's no math equation where the Dallas Cowboys can't spend $9 million real dollars, $10 million real dollars on what should have been a serviceable running back. It was like a foregone conclusion that Derrick Henry was going to the Dallas Cowboys.
If you have Derrick Henry, that low-key might just take you over the top as far as being a playoff team. Like, I don't think they're very good. I don't think they make the playoffs this year. But at least it's something else besides CD on the offense, too.
Their lack of run game could get Dak hurt.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing when a one-game scenario becomes a 2-3-4 week trend. At some point, as an opposing coach, you start to realize they can't run the ball. Our work on the defensive end of the ball is solely focused on their quarterback. That's the type of stuff that gets quarterbacks hurt. That's what got Aaron Rodgers hit twice on his 2 snaps last year. That's what got Zach Wilson nearly killed. If you can't protect your quarterback, and if a defense only has to play one way against you, that's the importance of Jordan Mason. Imagine without Christian McCaffrey and all these other weapons, if Jordan Mason hadn't been good against the Jets. Jordan Mason got everybody's attention week one. Everybody's. And when I say everybody's, I mean opposing coaches. All right. See this young man here. We got something we got to prepare for. That game bought the 49ers time. And the fact that he followed it up with a second good game, they lost. But he had a really good game against the Minnesota Vikings. That's like now you're buying yourself time. Now you're building a body of work. And so far, you know, the 3 weeks that Jordan Mason has been in the backfield, it's like, okay, yeah, he's someone we have to game plan for. We've got to figure out his tendencies. We've got to figure out what he does well. We've got to figure out what he doesn't do well. And we've got to exploit that. He fails in that regard. If Jordan Mason failed back in week one, defenses at this point, man, with no Debo, Kittle out last week, they're teeing off on Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's a sitting duck. And that's what Dak Prescott is staring at. They can't, not only can they not get anything going in the run game, they're getting to the point where they have to abandon it, where they just have to completely leave it alone. Like, there's no point in doing this. We're a net negative when we try to run the ball. We just have to let Dak do what he does. Dak might throw, I mean, it's a Thursday night. It's always a little sketchy. Dak might throw for like 400 yards tonight, 400 or 500 yards, because he's got no other alternative. He damn near threw for 400 last week because they were down by so many, they had to keep throwing the ball to get back into it. And it worked. They did it. But you're going to do that for the next 16 weeks? 15 weeks? That's a tough proposition to live by if you're Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. But week 4 of the season starts tonight. And they got to win this weekend, or they got to win tonight. And the San Francisco 49ers got to win tonight, or they got to win this weekend. 49ers are reeling from these injuries. Of course, they got a little bit of good news. I don't know what it means, but Debo was back at practice today in full uniform. George Kittle was back at practice yesterday, limited, but back. Those are positive steps moving forward, but they're reeling from these injuries and bad news. Christian McCaffrey out going to Germany, doing all that stuff. You got the Cowboys. They're in full, like, finger-pointing mode. I'd be so fascinated to know what the Cowboys, like the players, thought going into this year. They're looking around like, we didn't get Derrick Henry. We really didn't get a running back. And you look around a little bit more like, I don't think we really got anything. What were their expectations headed into this season? Clearly they were high because you saw their reaction on Sunday. Cowboys and 49ers not in identical places, but in similar places. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Man, this Raiders game is a little uncomfortable to talk about this week. I'm really nervous about discussing this week 4 matchup with the Raiders and Browns, but we'll attempt to do that. We'll look at some of the marquee games this weekend as well. You can hit us up on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Steeler and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line open for you, 916-909-1320. Steeler and Casey. Casey stepped out dealing with some station business. He'll be back with us, of course, tomorrow, leading into a big weekend of NFL action and a very big weekend or a very big week ahead with the Sacramento Kings media day coming up on Monday. And as tradition, they're full. A lot of teams will practice on media day. Sacramento Kings do not do that. Their first full practice is Tuesday. And man, that's going to be a moment, because I can't lie. Someone who tries to talk about the Kings every day, certainly talk about basketball, talk about sports in a city that is driven by the Sacramento Kings. I don't have any way to prove this, and it's probably not even statistically accurate. I swear to God, this has been the longest offseason ever. Not sure why. I don't know if it was because the excitement wasn't there like it was the year before when the season came to an end. Of course, we got like 4 more weeks of Kings talk last year because of the Warriors series that they stretched out to go on forever. But this offseason has been an eternity. And I think it was actually made worse by the DeMar DeRozan signing, because everybody instantly got hyped up and it's like, yo, DeMar, this is crazy. Oh, got like 4 months before anything happens. I think that amplified. One, it obviously brought our excitement up, but it prolonged the amount of time. It prolonged the feeling of how long the amount of time was before the actual season started. But next week, we'll be talking about real Kings basketball. Next week, hopefully, we'll be bringing you interviews from Media Day, just like we did last year. Next week, we'll have coverage from practices all week leading into the first game taking place. I believe it's a week from next Wednesday at the Golden 1 Center against the Golden State Warriors. And once we get to that game, man, we've got basketball. Once we get to that first game against the Warriors, we got basketball, because it's every other night until that Thursday, and then everyone's off. We got 7 days to tip off the season against the Minnesota Timberwolves again at the Golden 1 Center. I'm really excited for that one for a million different reasons, but I love that the Kings are being tested against a team that so many seem to love in the Western Conference. I love that the Kings' first game is a team that some people have like legitimate title contention beliefs for. I'm not there. It's all good. They could prove me wrong, and they could prove me wrong quick. They did it last year. I went into the last year feeling the exact same way about the Minnesota Timberwolves. Not buying it. Got to show me. Not that I think they're bad. It's just y'all talk about them in a way that I don't see. Then they started playing. Started playing for a while. I remember they beat the hell out of Sacramento the first time they were in. I thought, oh, well, all right, got it. Understood. It's a good basketball team. I also think there are things, I think there are also elements right there that can, I don't know, that can make this, I think they all make them an interesting team, potentially in a negative way. So much like last year, again, they proved me wrong last year. They're going to have to do it again this year. They're going to have to prove me that my thought on them is wrong. I do not think that that's a bad basketball team by any stretch of the imagination. I think they pose a ton of problems for the Sacramento Kings. But I don't feel about the Minnesota Timberwolves the way that other people do. Like Jesse and Kyle were talking this morning about, you know, who's in the club, who's in the VIP section of the NBA club, who is a true title contender. And in the West, I feel like it's Oklahoma City. And I'm not comfortable putting Minnesota there. I don't even know I want to put Denver there. Denver to me feels like they're just... Denver to me feels like they're banking solely on Jokic and Murray and then what they can get from Michael Porter Jr. Because they've let so many guys go over the last, what, since the end of their title run? So just the last two off seasons? And obviously Jokic is there. Murray is there. Porter is there. Porter Jr. is there. But you start to lose those pieces that surround all that, and at some point you're going to lose too many. Not the same, not equating them to this team at all, but it's what we were just talking about with the Dallas Cowboys. At some point, you lose one too many players. It's the questions that we've asked about the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the 49ers aren't losing those players to free agency. They're losing those players to injury. But at what point is one injury too many? And for the Denver Nuggets... To me, it's at what point is losing a guy in free agency one too many? I know they picked up my boy. My man is out there, Russell Westbrook, but I don't even know what that looks like. And I don't even hate that he's in Denver. I just find Denver kind of boring. I've never really been... I've grown to appreciate Jokic, and I'll acknowledge the fact that maybe I was a little late to that in the sense, like, I recognize what an incredible basketball player he is. Like, anybody can see that. But I don't necessarily enjoy watching him play. I've said this time and time again. I feel like when I watch Nikola Jokic, I'm watching a man go to work. And I don't mean, like, go to work. I mean, like... My man's got a job. He's an accountant. He's just there to earn his paycheck and keep it moving. My brother wants to go home to his horses. My man says that enough. At some point, I'm just going to believe him. My man just wants to go home. Now, that's not why I don't buy the Denver Nuggets, though, at all. I just feel that Nuggets organization is putting a ton of pressure on, namely, the duo of Jokic and Murray, but include Michael Porter Jr. into that, they're obviously expecting a ton from him. And I need to see something else from Jamal. Because I ain't there with him. I like the offseason Dallas had. And I respect the run that they made last year. I think all of those acquisitions that they made at the trade line to be able to formulate as quickly as they did, that's special. They were the best team, certainly one of the best teams from the All-Star break on, probably second to the Boston Celtics, but certainly a top team in the entire league after the trade deadline. So I think Dallas could actually go one of two directions. They have even more time. They have a full training camp together now for the first time. They have a full... season now to kind of gel together. This thing could skyrocket. Or guys could get thirsty, feeling like they sacrificed all these different things, and it could have a completely different vibe to it.
What direction do you think Minnesota's heading in? Because it feels like they were so close to contenders. Now I feel like maybe they might take half a step backwards.
If they take a step backwards, it's probably half a step. like you just said. But what I don't think they're doing is taking a step forward.
That's how I feel about
So they're just walking in a straight line to me. Like they're not up or down. If they took a step back, I can see it and I can predict the reasons why they do. I would be surprised if they took a step up to where you look at them. And obviously they were damn near the top team in the conference last year. If they got to a point where we're 50 games into the season and we look at Minnesota similar to the way we looked at Boston last year in the Eastern Conference, and that they've passed up Milwaukee for a long time, and like, nah, the Minnesota Timberwolves are the top seed in the West, I'd be shocked. If they were able to establish with that type of comfort level, I'd be shocked.
You still believe in Cat? Carl Anthony Towns?
I believe in him.
As far as him and the Timberwolves?
That's a nice little caveat. Like, do I believe in him or do I believe in him and the Timberwolves? That's where I am most curious. The dynamic between Cat, Ant, and Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert had a terrible summer.
So it's a little excessive at this point.
His country hates him.
Yeah.
It seems like the world hates Rudy Gobert.
Shaq needs to relax.
Shaq absolutely needs to relax.
That's the excessive part.
Hey, Rudy has handled all of this stuff as best as he possibly can. But I think that's a really, really interesting dynamic. I think how Rudy comes into this season will be fascinating to watch. I think how all of these three players gel together will be interesting to watch. And you talk about an ascension as a team, not sure about, but an ascension by Ant-Man. What does that do for Minnesota? And does everybody buy in if Anthony Edwards takes another step forward? Because Anthony Edwards is a guy that I think can take a step forward. While I don't think the team as a whole will, I think Anthony Edwards will. I'm just not sure how everybody in a Timberwolves uniform is going to react to that.
I wouldn't be shocked if this is the last season for this little core group right here. Not where back and rebuild,
but retool. Yeah. I'm with you 100%. If they fall short this year in similar to fashion to what they did last year, they have to. It's tough because you looked at Rudy Gobert like he was the missing piece. And you went all in on that, and I don't know that that's the easiest guy to move.
John Bull throws it in the chat, says he believes in Cat, believes in Tim and the Timberwolves, but not with him and Rudy together. And you're probably not going to be able to trade Rudy for much,
so
you might have to move off of Cat.
We say that all of the time, and John, I think John makes a solid point right there, but...
And I'm thinking like a big move, too, where it's like, we just need another superstar, a different superstar to go with Anthony Edwards.
I don't know that they need another superstar. I think they need the right...
You need the right number two, at least, I think.
You want Cat at three? You want Cat as the third man?
Meet Cat as a man somewhere else.
I'm
talking a big shakeup, yes. I'm not talking about a little move where it's like, all right, we got a six
so,
man.
And that's the tough part, because if you're talking about trading someone to... maybe fill out some depth and prop you up another tier or another step. It's not Rudy. You're not trading Rudy. That doesn't net it for you. Like, it's Carl Anthony Towns. That's who you have to trade.
I like him as a player, Carl Anthony Towns as a player, but it's like, honestly, I don't know how much I believe in him as a number two even.
Yeah, I guess. I feel
just
like
don't know if he has it. Like, just, I don't know if it's that it factor or just what, but he's just, and I hate stuff like Killer Instinct and all that because it's not real, but he's just...
Well, it kind of is, though.
All right, like, well, then if we're saying it's real, then I don't know if he has that.
I don't think he does. Like, I asked Garrett Temple about that once, and I'm sure the conversation was centered around De'Aaron Fox at the time. And I asked, is that real? Like, is that Killer Instinct there at the end of a game, is that real? He was like, yeah, there's a lot of guys, and we were specifically talking about end-of-game situations. There's a lot of guys who freeze up in those moments. And it doesn't have to be an end-of-game situation. It could be just a big moment. It could be a big game in general. It could just be the spotlight is getting a little brighter on you because of how your team is playing, and you get a little you get a little timid. Some guys attack it. Malik is an attacker. De'Aaron is an attacker. Some guys aren't. I don't think that Karl Anthony Towns is.
It's not to say he's a bad player, but he just doesn't have that. Yeah.
But you know what one of the most telling things is? Like, Kat scored 50-something points in a game, in a loss, and his coach was furious. Like, his...
It was one of the weirder post-game press conferences of all time.
Just angry at everything that went on that floor. That feels like Karl Anthony Towns to me. Like, he's that guy. Karl Anthony Towns is a good, maybe even a really, really good basketball player. But when you start like slotting guys as like the one, the two, the three, he is very, very obviously not a one. And I think your point is there's a big question mark as if he's two.
Yeah.
And would he best be suited in a, and I think this is the term we always go to, the Chris Bosh role, where he is the third guy on the team, and then you have the LeBron and the D-Wade kind of leading the group right there. But they can change my mind about them very, very quickly. Whether they take a, because I got them taking that half a step back that you were talking about. I don't think they take a half a step forward. But if they continued along the same kind of path line that they were last year, I can 100% see that. Another interesting team in the Western Conference is Phoenix. I'm looking at Phoenix exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at Phoenix being essentially exactly what they were last year. And I know they had, I don't even know what to make of Bradley Beal at this point there. But the idea that, if Phoenix is healthy, you're going to have to miss me with that.
Does Devin Booker after the Olympics do anything? Is he a different player? You think it's a different outlook for the Suns? I don't think so, honestly. I think it's two completely different things, and it's more of the same from the Suns, unless somehow, some way. I think Tyus Jones they picked up in the offseason.
I think the only thing that's different with Book is I look at him totally differently now. I have a huge amount of respect for what he did this offseason, for what he did for Team USA. I don't think there are a lot of guys in the league that can do that. I don't think there are a lot of guys of his stature in the league that are willing to do that.
And it's a lot. Go ahead.
He went out there and did exactly what he said he was going to do. I will be any and everything that this team needs me to be.
Yeah. I think thinking about it now, like, it's a lot easier to do when you got the Team USA guys around you. But like in Phoenix, you can't be doing that. We need you to get these shots up, bro.
Well, yeah, especially when you don't know if Brad's going to be there. You know, that you have kind of a suspect squad around those big three. Kevin Durant was obviously brilliant last year. Are you banking on that happening again? I am, personally. I can absolutely see Kevin Durant going 70-plus again this year.
There was weird trade talk in the offseason, too, from Woj and the whole Rockets thing, right? Wasn't the Rockets building up picks for KD?
Yeah, that was grand opening, grand closing.
And then Woj is retired, so we'll never know that payoff.
It just feels like Woj mentioned it out of nowhere and then left. Like, he tweeted about Kevin Durant, the Rockets, and then just cut. It's like, what is he talking about? And it's literally never been mentioned again.
Yeah, it was never just discussed the second time. They're building up picks, maybe looking at Kevin Durant.
It was a July 8th story, and then by July 9th, it was gone forever. This is bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. But we are this close. This close to real basketball. Again, media day on Monday. The first Sacramento Kings practice coming up on Tuesday. And you know, just as we have been for the last 4 years, we'll be your leaders in Sacramento Kings content. So just lock into us through the YouTube page, Twitch page, or if you're on the Odyssey app, Hard Us, or if you just tap in through 1320 AM or 98.5 FM, HD2. Y'all know where to find us, man. We appreciate you for being with us. Now, we were talking the NFL earlier with week four getting underway here in just a little bit over an hour. I am growing increasingly uncomfortable with this Raiders-Browns game this weekend. This is starting to feel a lot like the Spider-Man meme. I had far, far higher expectations for the Cleveland Browns than I did the Las Vegas Raiders. Don't get me wrong. But I had extremely high expectations for both of their defenses. And these two defenses are pointing at each other like, hey, you stink and you stink. And for both of them, that can't be the case because their offenses aren't good enough. And whatever you thought the Raiders' ceiling was, I don't think it was a six-win team. I mean, for some of you, it may have been. Maybe my expectations for them were a bit unrealistic. I knew Gardner Minshew was going to lose you football games. I also thought Gardner Minshew could win you some football games. And he did. Well, singular. He won one. It was an impressive win against Baltimore. He absolutely deserves credit for it, and I'm going to give him credit for it. But, man, I just can't get over the downfall of Deshaun Watson. And this Cleveland Browns team potentially, this Cleveland Browns team has the potential to just be awful.
I don't think Deshaun's a big fan of the offense either. They're asking about design runs and all that, and he's telling them, yeah, I'm not a running back.
And here's the thing, though. I think Kevin Stefanski's a good coach. So I don't think that this is about him. I feel like this is about Deshaun. And I don't know what the answer is for Cleveland. They made a unprecedented move in every literal sense of the word and failed. Like the Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed an epic failure. The Deshaun Watson bidding war coming out of Houston, a massive, massive failure. These are two underwhelming offenses with two underperforming defenses. I don't think this is true for the Raiders because the Raiders' expectations are different. I don't know exactly where they're going to land in all of this. This could be the Browns' season right here. You face plant against the Las Vegas Raiders, that's got to be reeling a little bit.
Are they 1-2 right now, the Browns, or are they 0-3?
I think they're 1-2, but let me confirm that.
Cowboys got them. The Giants got them.
Cleveland. Oh, yeah. They beat Jacksonville.
They gotta agree with that, then. If they lose this week, it might be over.
They beat Jacksonville 18-13. Deshaun Watson was 22 of 34 with 186 yards. I need to look at something.
34 passing attempts, only 186 yards. That's it. Doesn't got it.
I need to look this up real quick. I know the show is
we got a minute 30.
Almost done, and I spelled Deshaun Watson wrong, so I'm not going to be able to find the stats. Because I'm not sure if Deshaun Watson has thrown a touchdown pass this year.
He threw one to Amari Cooper. He might have thrown two to Amari Cooper in the last game. Mark Cooper had one, I know that. I saw it with my own eyes.
Oh, and that's the other thing about them. Amari Cooper don't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, that's facts.
Y'all pissed him off in the offseason. He's ready to go. He's thrown three touchdown passes. He's threw two in the week one loss. No, he threw two last week to the New York Giants against the New York Giants. You're right. And he threw one when they played Dallas. So he's got three touchdowns and two interceptions on the season. And three fumbles. My goodness. My goodness. But tomorrow's Friday. Man, we already got a couple of extra guests lined up. Eddie Gonzalez will be with us. Jake Gaden will be with us. And, of course, Kyle Mattson of the Insiders will be with us to prepare for the weekend in the NFL, to prepare for the San Francisco 49ers versus the New England Patriots. Casey will be back in here with me. Appreciate y'all so much for hanging out. We'll run it back next year on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.